me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. I say that all of the time, but I say it sincerely, and it is really just good to get together, not only to enjoy our friendship and fellowship with one with another, but to spend some time together in praise as a congregation to our Heavenly Father. So appreciate your being with us today. It's kind of a conclusion of a lesson from last week. We gave a lesson concerning Noah's salvation and ours. And this week is kind of a wrap-up or a summary just from Adam's lessons from the flood. And many would not know this, but we did do a four-week study on Wednesday night, just about a month and a half ago, on Noah and the flood. So this is kind of a summary or just kind of an overview, but just to look back at some of those lessons that we have learned over the last several months. So we're just talking about lessons from the flood. As I was looking, I didn't really notice at the time, but it looks like I don't have a lot of comments in your notes, but just the scripture references, but that's okay. You get to you study this on your own or read the chapters or the verses that surrounding the notes that I've given you. The story of Noah, by the way, you can see it in the notes, not only is told in the Old Testament book of Genesis, but also in the book of Hebrews, and in the Apostle Peter wrote about Noah in his first letter and his second. So the story of Noah has some New Testament implications, if you will. It's not just an Old Testament story that's nice to know about. There are some lessons that we need to learn from the flood. So I just put some things about Noah in the introduction. The Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations, the Bible says. And he walked with God. In Genesis 6, verse 22, it says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so he did." By the way, that phrase, that Noah did everything God commanded him, is found three other times in the next chapter. In Genesis chapter 7, verses 5, 9, and 16, that same phrase is used. Noah did all that God commanded him. Then the Hebrew writer gives a reference. In chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Again, then Peter writes, and this was in our text this morning, in 2 Peter 2, verse 5, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So when we look at these things about Noah, it's just interesting to observe what kind of person he was. And then God chose him to perform a particular task. So here's the story. We know it very, very well. But notice what God, or what the story tells, not only about Noah, but about God. But in particular, Noah's obedience to God. In Genesis chapter 6, beginning of verse 5, and rather than just retell the story, I'm going to read the text, and you're very welcome to follow along. Here's what the Bible says. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes. eyes of the Lord. The story continues by God having Noah do two things. One, to build an ark, and second, to preach to the people around him for 120 years. So first, in Genesis 6, verse 14, God specifically says to Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. In verses 18 and 19, God said, but I will establish my covenant with you. You shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. In verse 22, that familiar phrase, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Then second, after Noah was told to build an ark, he was to preach for 120 years, urging the people around him to repent. And only, it's interesting, and we can read in the text, that only Noah and his family responded correctly. So as a preacher, you just wonder, you're preaching for 120 years to all of these people, your neighbors, everywhere around you, and there's only seven people outside yourself that responded? Seven. No, I want to think, Noah, how did you keep going? Wasn't that discouraging? Why didn't you give up after 7 days? Or 12 days, but 120 years? Noah keeps preaching God's word. And the Bible describes him as a preacher of righteousness. So whatever he preached was correct. It was God's message that Noah delivered. But the people did not listen. They did not obey. So in Genesis 6, verse 3, it says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And then the New Testament writer, the Apostle Peter, in referring to this Old Testament story, in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, says, the long suffering of God, or the patience of God, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Only eight. Peter again writes about it in his second letter, 2 Peter 2, verse 5. God saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. Then the story continues back in the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 5. Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. That's a phrase. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass, after 7 days, that the waters of the flood were on the earth. Story continues that after 1 year and 17 days in the ark, in Genesis 8, verse 15, God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. And then in Genesis 9, and you're very familiar with this part of the story, rather than read it, I'll just make reference to it. But in verses 8 through 17, God promises to Noah that the earth would never again be destroyed by water. And God set a rainbow in the sky. And so even in our generation, when we see that rainbow, Genesis 9 verse 17 says, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth, that God will not destroy creation again by flood waters." Then the story ends in Genesis 9 verse 28. Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Going into the ark when he was 600 years old, and he lived 350 years after the flood. So here are some lessons from the flood. You can see them in bold print on your notes. I just want to make reference to them. But number one, I'm sure you're well aware of these. But number one, the earth will again be destroyed. That's a biblical given. But next time by fire. Next time by fire. Again, when Peter makes reference to this Old Testament story, Peter says, and it was in a text that was read to us this morning, 2 Peter 3, verse 7, "But the heavens and the earth which are now," this what we see, "heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." What we see and where we live now, it will be destroyed, but next time by fire. Verse 10, the same chapter. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up." So just as in Noah's day, as was read to us in the text, in verses 3 and 4, there will be mockers, there will be hecklers, there will be disbelievers, that there's going to be another destruction of the earth. Just as in when Jesus lived and Peter lived, people will say, "Oh no, it hasn't happened yet, therefore it will never happen." People in our generation, here we are 2,000 years away from Jesus, the Apostle Peter, and yet we have people today saying the same thing. "Look how long the earth has been here. Look how long we've been alive. God said he would do that, and he hasn't done it yet. Therefore, he's not going to do it." Uh-oh. So Peter makes reference to that and says the word that is now preserving our earth was the word that destroyed them back then. And they didn't believe there would be a flood, but it came. People today may say, "No, there's not going to be an eternal fire." Oh, the day will come. Whether you believe it or not, it's the Word of God. That's our faith. That's what we read. And that's what we preach. Truth is truth, whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
If it's true, it's true. You ever seen that? I remember it. The bumper sticker. Saw in a car. I said, "God said it. I believe it." Third line was, "That settles it." And I thought to myself, "No, that's not right. You need to change it. God said it. That settles it." The third phrase would be, "Whether you believe it or not." "God said it. That settles it." The pastor said, "No, God said it. I believe it. That settles it." No, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That settles it. So there will be a destruction. But this time, or next time, by fire. Number two, as in Noah's days, we don't know when the end will be. I don't know. You ever hear a preacher or a Bible class teacher telling you that we are the signs of the world today, but we're getting close? We're close right now, this morning. We don't know It could be this afternoon. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. We have marriages today?
Sure do.
Do people eat, drink?
Sure do.
Just like Noah's day. And there was a flood. Same in our generation. We're going to go about the normal daily routines of life. But one day there will be a sudden destruction of this earth. I don't know when. Mark 13, verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So Jesus says, take heed, watch and pray, for you don't know when the time is. And the Bible makes reference several times that day will come as a thief in the night. I don't know when a thief is going to come to my house. You know, so we put some bars on the window, or we put extra lights outside, or we bolt the doors. We have a security system in place because we don't know, but we make ready in case that person canvassing the area might choose this house. Oh, no, I'm ready. But if I knew when he was going to come, I would have the militia out. I would have the cannons and the guns and the rockets ready for that bird. But I don't know when he's going to come. So we always be prepared, and that's the lesson. I don't know. Number three, as in Noah's time, God's long-suffering will end. And certainly God is long-suffering, patient, giving people time to repent. In 1 Peter 3, verse 20, the long-suffering or patience of God waited in the days of Noah. 120 years Noah's preaching. God, that's patience. You know, in our generation, we have three strikes and you're out. But not God. I'll give them 120 years. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, he says it again, Peter does. God is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But one day, the patience of God will end, just as it did in Noah's day. And he will send the Christ. And there will be great destruction. And the earth and the works that are therein will be destroyed. Just as he said to the people in Noah's day, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The day of the Lord will come. It will come. Number four, last one I have. Those who do not prepare will be destroyed. In the Old Testament story, in Genesis 7, verse 23, so he, meaning God, destroyed, and that's the word, he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Because Noah prepared. Because by faith he believed God's message to him. So he prepared an ark to the saving of his household. And all that God commanded Noah, so did he. By faith. God, I believe what you're telling me is true. And what you say will happen. Therefore, whatever you command, that will I do. And that preparation, that attitude and obedience of Noah by faith contributed to the salvation of Noah and his household. In 2 Peter chapter 3, in the text that was read to us, just knowing that these things are going to happen, and that's the words that the Apostle Peter used. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Just with that information, knowing there will be a destruction, believing God's message, we want to obey. What are the commands, God, that you would have me do? We come to God with the attitude, speak, your servant is listening. If you command, I'll obey. Our attitude should be to look up to God and say, send and I'll go. Whatever it is, I submit my will to God's will because I want salvation in my life. So Jesus, when he commissions his apostles right before Jesus ascended back to the Father, in Matthew 16 and verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Tell a world of people a good news message. Jesus also said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So we, number one, when you think about what's the plan, what are the specifics of obedience that I need to do? Well, number one, hear what the good news message is. Find out what God requires. And then number two, believe it. Otherwise, we'll die in our sins. Number three, as Jesus himself said in Luke 13, verse 3, except ye repent, ye shall all in like manner perish. I don't want to perish. So I'm going to repent, turn my life around. Number two, second, I don't want to die, so I'm going to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Number one, I'm going to listen. God, what do you have in, what's your word for me? So I need to hear, I want to believe it, I want to repent of my sins, I want to confess my faith that Jesus is God's Son before witnesses. I want to say, I give the testimony, I believe Jesus Christ is God's Son. And when that takes place, you'll be baptized. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what I want. I want to be on salvation's side. In Noah's day, I want to be in the ark. Because that's where salvation was located. The waters destroyed. The text said specifically, they were all destroyed. I'm looking for the ark of safety. And that's by obeying the commands that God has given for you and to me in our generation. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge as a member of the family of God, spiritually, member of the church. And we involve ourselves in ministry and service. So that's the invitation we extend. Perhaps as Noah preached for 120 years, his audience didn't listen. We pray that our audience today will listen and obey. Let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. Here this morning, I'm a member of the New Testament Church. Your desire to be baptized by obeying that simple plan, that formula, we can accomplish it. Just simply let your request be known. Just have a seat beside me at the closing of the song. We can certainly honor that resolve. So let's